going to rain.
What?
I was thinking about the difference between English rain and West Indian rain. In England, even the rain is polite.
Blessed mosquitoes. I heard you speaking to your Aunt Judith.
Yeah, she remembers me.
I should hope she remembers you. She isn't suffering from amnesia as well.
Poor Aunt Judith. It's this house. You can almost feel it. I can't escape it either. I used to think about this house all the time. In England, you know. Not even my best friends would call me particularly imaginative, but there's something about this house. I can't shrug it off. I remember I'd come back from the pictures about 8 to 9 o'clock and I'd find you here rocking away with your fly whisk and your fan, just as you are now. I seem to have done all my growing up sitting out here with you. I can even remember the gate, that heavy gate out there. I always used to have to struggle with that gate. And then the long driveway. Man, we own so much. Tell you something else I've never forgotten. That library in the next room. While everybody else's grandmother had books about God or the Old Testament, you had books about men with strange, weird names like Bulldog Drummond and the Saint, and a Belgian detective called Hercule Poirot. Those books, amazing. By the time I was 12, I knew as much about Agatha Christie as any Englishman on earth. Everything about Agatha Christie and nothing, absolutely nothing about black writers. Amazing.
You feel now that those books weren't good enough for you, is that it?
Grandmother, I'm not trying to be rude. Look, I used to know an African writer. He was only in England for about 6 months. But because he'd written a novel called Africa Dreams, which won a prize, the only people he ever met were English.
What's so horrendous about that?
Anyway, one day I took him to a West Indian restaurant. He said to me, I'm glad we came here. The way my life's been going lately, I'd begun to worry about losing my identity. I was so struck by this. I mean, if he was worried about his identity, where does that leave me? What about my identity?
Whatever have they been filling you with in Great Britain?
You're not listening to me.
Were you happy in London or were you not? That's all that matters.
I loved London, but that's not enough. Listen to my voice. I haven't even got my own voice anymore.
What are you on about?
I sound like I was invented by the BBC.
What rot.
Come the revolution, they'll line me up against the wall beside Colonel Blimp and Madame Butterfly.
What revolution?
Grandmother, listen. There's certain West Indians in England. They've been over here for so long, they're worse off than Little Bo Peep's sheep. They've been over in London for years. They can't go home again, ever. They've had to play so many games in London, many roles. Even they don't know who they are anymore. They're grey. Their colour is grey. I don't want to be like them.
For heaven's sake, child. You'll give me a heart attack just watching you.
I'm furious about something.
What about?
I don't know. Grandmother, there's something I've been meaning to tell you.
Let's hear it.
I have a child.
Never.
I do. A boy.
A child? With your whole future ahead of you?
I didn't want her to have it. I made her take precautions.
How old is this child?
2. He's about 2 years old.
2 years old? And you're only now telling me? Why bother now? Why not wait till he's 50?
Why are you so angry?
I didn't bring you up as my own child, my own son. Spent all that money on you to have you do this to me? You had no right doing this without consulting me first.
Next time, I'll get your written permission.
I sent you away at great expense to study, not to have children you can't even afford as yet.
Grandmother, you keep referring to the amount of money you spent sending me away. Well, I'm very grateful and all that. But let's not forget about our little pact, grandmother, that as soon as I'm able, I have to pay you back. All of it.
You're being unfair. I won't have it. You're making me sound far more mercenary than I really am. Lots of parents finance their children's education and then expect to be repaid. You've become so impossible now. Maybe it wasn't such a good idea sending you to England. Anyway, you owe me far more than you could ever begin to repay, so there!
Good. So it's out in the open now. We don't need to pussyfoot around anymore. Not any longer.
I'm sorry. Perhaps I shouldn't have said that. It just slipped out.
Well, I'm glad it did. I'll pay you back what is owed. Then that's it. Finished.
I don't want to quarrel any more, son. I said I was sorry.
You haven't asked me how it was over there. I mean, really asked me.
I did ask you. If you remember, I inquired the moment you arrived.
There is London, and there's Bedsitter London. And the two just never meet. There's nothing you can do non-stop 24 hours a day in a Bedsitter. Not even study. I remember it had been advertised as a double room. But that might have been my landlord's idea of a joke. I'm prepared to give him the benefit of the doubt. A student from Ceylon had had the room before me. He'd been studying law. I don't know if it was all that English law that did it, but he cracked up during the third year. They had to put him away. It was while he was in hospital that I took over his room. One night, some months later, after he'd been discharged and fixed up with a new address and everything, I was awakened by a terrific banging on my door. It was him, demanding to be let in. He thought he was still living in my room. There's nothing you can do non-stop in a Bedsitter, except go quietly mad.
I've no doubt I'd go raving mad. I'm certain I could never learn to live in just one little room all by myself.
Talk about the prodigal son. Some days I used to sit marooned in that room. And I used to think Mary and Cook had it better in this house than I was having it over there. A slight exaggeration, perhaps, but not much.
Well, you're back now. That's all that matters. Help me up. Look at those plants.
You're not really listening to me. El Dorado. What a home. What do I really know about it? It's past history. They used to keep slaves under the house here, ages ago, from about the 1700s. Slaves. Did you know that? Right where we're sitting and standing right now. Right under here. Slaves. Did you know that, grandmother?
Who told you all this?
It's a part of a Guyanese history now. 1763, slave rebellion. Coffee. No one ever mentions any of this.
I've heard that story in half a dozen different forms. It's all hearsay.
It's not hearsay. Coffee existed. Coffee was a slave in this house. He was kept under this house. Didn't grandfather ever try to find out the full facts of the matter?
Your grandfather? What sort of morbid creature do you think he was? 1763. He was a magistrate, not a historian.
How could grandfather have just ignored it? Slavery poisons forever.
I don't think I particularly care for this topic of conversation.
That's our trouble. Nobody talks about such things in this house. Anything to do with the subject of colour, and we leave the room. Under this roof, the dirtiest four-letter word is race.
Young man, that sort of topic would only be of interest to a racist or a fool, neither of whom I would tolerate in this house. I promise you.
I never once in this house ever heard anyone even remark on the fact that you were white and grandfather was black.
It was of no importance.
That's obviously not true, grandmother. Come on now. It was never mentioned, ever. Surely that is at least a little strange. In England, there's still a lot of people afraid of sex. Here in the West Indies, race is the great taboo word. It still is, even now. It's indelicate. Not the sort of thing middle-class West Indians talk about.
Are you quite finished? Anyway, we are not middle-class, thank God. You evidently feel this house needs shaking up. Well, careful. Careful. One wouldn't have to be Samson to bring this house to its knees. We never discussed it. The fact that I was white and he wasn't. It simply was never mentioned. You didn't know your grandfather. 35 years. Do you realise it's been 35 years since your grandfather died? 35 years. We married when I was 23. Before he was 40, he was dead. I have been alone these 35 years. These days, everybody talks about white people this, white people that, as if to be white and Anglo-Saxon means I don't feel pain like everybody else. You think I don't feel pain like everybody else. 35 years. It's like a clap of thunder. He was a self-made man, your grandfather. Always kept himself smart. Only the best was good enough for him. This house is an example. He was determined to own it. He just wouldn't take no for an answer. In those days, El Dorado was the focal point of this town. Still is, no matter what anyone says to the contrary. But then it was the house. It was owned by an Englishman, Trevor Hammond. I remember him clearly. It was he who named it El Dorado, the largest house in town. And then, lo and behold, your grandfather bought it. From that day on, as far as the local people were concerned, it became the Vandenberg Building. Overnight, your grandfather became the most prominent coloured man in this town. I married him soon after that. It was quite a wedding, as you can imagine. You know how West Indians love weddings. The ordinary people loved it. It was an occasion. On bicycles, donkey carts, the lot. They congregated outside the church as if they'd come to see an accident. Barrister Vandenberg, he wasn't a magistrate as yet. Barrister Vandenberg and his white wife. It was as good as a two-day cricket match. I suppose I haven't been that popular since. However, the wedding was less successful with certain members of my family, my brother in particular. His venom stunned me. There are some people, some of them one's own relatives, walking around, hating others with a ferocity that defies all understanding and for nothing more than the colour of their skin. He never even sent a present. Our parents were both dead. It would have meant so much to me if Jonathan had put in a 10-minute appearance. He shamed me. I never forgave him. Your grandfather was an important man. When a man is as important as your grandfather, it doesn't matter what colour he is.
But grandmother...
Yes, child.
Nothing. Go on.
Not much more to tell, really.
Tell me about grandfather.
Tell you what? He was a tall man, unbending, Edwardian almost. He modelled himself on the Edwardians, your grandfather. In a way, he was the last of the Edwardians. Oh, if I could only, just once, make it all return. Turn back the clock. Bitter. Bitter. I tell you this, I was loved. That man loved me. How many of those fine expatriate women with their fine expatriate husbands could say as much? I was loved. When he died, when that man died, oh, my heart burst. Your grandmother's heart burst, my child. Nothing's been the same since. 35 years, it's like a clap of thunder.